From odds.com.au HQ, this is the From the Nosebleeds podcast.
Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the From the Nosebleeds podcast. Episode 24, in fact. My name is Matt Hickey and we have a massive show coming up. We've, of course, got our moments of the week, our bank builders. We're back with the throwback, the cult profile and the quiz before we wrap things up with the big calls. It's a pretty exciting show. And I think it was Peaches and Herb on their album Too Hot who sang it, reunited and it feels so good. And boy, it's good to have James Lamb back in action. James, welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me back on, Matty. It's good to be here for the last show before we roll into next year.
Indeed, it is. And joining you, as me also, is Jake Eckwood.
Beast Wolf, good to be back. Final time in 2019. What a time it is to be alive for cricket fans as well, of course. Not only the Test Series between Australia and New Zealand in full swing, but also the BBL's kicked off, guys.
Good to have the bash
61
back.
61 games in 53 days, if you don't mind. They've condensed the season back down. I'm pretty happy about that too.
Don't think the wives and partners quite look forward to big bash season as much as we do with cricket on every single night of the week.
But funny you say that, because Mama Squid, I went round there on Sunday to see Big Ginge and Mama Squid out there at research. And Mum actually said, don't tell me that tournament that never ends is starting again this week. And Dad goes, tournament. It ends. I don't think Dad watches every game.
So it's a couple months, but it ends. It gets there eventually. Yeah, as you mentioned, BBL has kicked off, but there's plenty more going on in the wider world of sport. Plenty of cricket, as you mentioned, Jake. The NBA and the NBL also tick along. The big football leagues around the world as well, the A-League. And then, of course, you've got your American sports, the NFL, starting to reach its pointy end. Let's get straight into things with our moments of the week. And Jake Eckwood, I'm going to you first.
So my moment of the week takes place in the first test between Australia and New Zealand. It's a pretty one-sided affair, this one, boys. As we know, the Aussies winning by a whopping 296 runs. But there was a good period of good contest, I should say, late on day three between bat and ball, when Neil Wagner came in and hit Matty Wade several times in the body, just refusing to play the pull or hook shot there, Wadey. But Wade survived and then had this to say the following morning, early on day four. Keep them coming, big boy. Keep them coming until Sydney, Wadey had to say. But I must say, I think Wagner won this little battle, even though he didn't take the wicket of Wade. So, of course, you can't say that it completely went in Wagner's favour there. But just hit him several times.
One of the more bizarre innings I've ever seen from Matthew Wade.
But I tell you what, he's just come out and alphaed him right there. Keep them coming, big boy. May as well call him Muscles.
Why wasn't he playing any shots?
Well, they said
the trap was there.
The trap was there, yeah.
But, I mean, you can defend.
Yeah,
you can use your bat.
And he's only bowling 132, yeah, so I don't really...
And he didn't have an arm guard on until the next... That following morning, he had a kind of a small arm guard under his sweatband he didn't want to show. So it was a real mental
battle. And then Starr came out and hit like three fours off five balls, so showing
how
to use the willow.
Yeah, exactly. Tried to cash in. I think it was against de Grondheim. Tried to cash in and hit a couple falls and then went out because he just wanted to get some runs because he was a fair way behind after facing all those
stuff.
Wagner bounces.
He's usually pretty attacking as well, Wade.
Had a good Ashes series too.
It was odd.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Only other bat to make a century besides Steve Smith, of course, in the Ashes. So he's in pretty good nick coming in. Didn't get much of a chance against Pakistan with
nobody did.
Yeah, exactly. Over to you, James.
It was a fairly ho-hum week in racing, but it was good to see the smart alligator blood back at Eagle Farm on Saturday. So he was $1.50, so he was certainly expected to win, but he did
it.
Did
you back it?
No, I didn't. I didn't take
any
the $1.50.
Winner?
Yeah, that's true, especially on this show. But he did it in effortless fashion. His record now stands at 6 wins from just 7 starts. His only defeat was in the Group 1 Caulfield Guinea. So he's definitely a horse to watch going forward, Alligator Blood. Matty.
Good areas. I'm going to the marvellous world of college basketball for my moment of the week. And it was J.J. Culver, who scored 100 points in a single game. That is my moment of the week. Now, he's the brother of Timberwolves rookie Jarrett Culver. He was playing for Wayland Baptist University against SW Adventus.
Powerhouse.
Two big teams. James, I know you're well aware of that. In the NAIA division. The end score was 124-60, of course, the way of Wayland Baptist University. And Culver had 100 of those 124.
So he's playing against Juventus football side.
I think they may have even played better defense.
He would have been the tallest on the field for sure.
He had over 80% of the team's score, but also had over 80% of the team's field goal, three-point and free throw attempts. So I think it was get Culver the ball and get that out of the way.
I know you love your basketball, but what time was this game on? 2 a.m.? You stayed up watching
it? No, I didn't watch it. I just, you can check out the article. It's on odds.com.au, but 100 points in a game.
Yeah,
and a college
game. I mean, I made 100 on the deck playing deck cricket the other day.
I don't remember.
I'm not talking
when
about
when I was
that.
Bowling, you didn't?
Oh, definitely.
You really plucked that one out. It's obscure.
It's good gear. 100 points in a college game. NAIA isn't horrendous. Of course, it's below NCAA, but it's probably only just below or just above Division Three NCAA, so it's not too bad.
Question without
from
notice,
my limited knowledge.
What's the most points scored in an NBA game ever?
100. Wilt Chamberlain.
Big Wilt.
Haven't 100. You seen the picture with him? He's got 100 written on a bit of piece of paper in the locker room, holding 100. It up. Iconic image. 100 points.
Wow.
Big Wilt. Wilt the Stilt. The Big Dipper.
How many did they score in that game, you reckon? He would have had over 80% as well.
I'm not entirely sure. Although, there is one thing. There is a big rumour going around that Wilt the Stilt slept with over 20,000 women. Now, unconfirmed, but that's
beast.
Just what I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard he was good off court as well.
Fair numbers. From
good Wilt. Areas from the big fella.
I think somebody may have done the calculations and it was like almost humanly impossible to do that. But it's a nice story anyway.
Does what he wants.
Indeed. Let's move on now, please, quickly to the Bank Builders. I will kick things off, of course. Had a win last week. I knew you guys were going to mention it, but I thought...
Well, I wasn't even here. So
well done, Beast.
I thought I'd jump in and...
in very good areas at the moment. Hitting Christmas in full flight, the young Beast.
Need to, just to pay for all the presents that I'm going to gift all my friends and family. You guys,
Sanjay Im?
Yeah, the great Sanjay Im. It was good to have him on our shores, actually.
Was.
The friend of the podcast.
Catch Sanjay up with him?
Yeah, had a quiet one.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's I'm going to the NFL again. San Francisco 49ers up against the Rams, both coming in off losses, which is a surprise definitely for the 49ers. Hasn't happened too many times this season. The Rams were demolished last week, though, by my Cowboys, and they've been very up and down so far this season. The 49ers, they lost in a heartbreaker, a game that they probably should have won. Now, this game is at San Francisco, and I like the 49ers minus 5.5 points. I think they'll do the job at $1.79.
Good areas there, Beast. So to say that I need a Bank Builder winner is the understatement of the year. My Bank Builders are cursed at the moment. I took Usman Khawaja in the first BBL contest on Tuesday night to score 25. Looked brilliant on his way to 22, four boundaries, then got caught in the fence. So that's where I'm at the moment. Anyway, onwards and upwards. And the first list of markets for the Boxing Day test isn't up yet, all the exotics anyway. So I'm heading back to the BBL and taking Darcy Short to score 25 or more runs against the Sydney Sixers on Friday down in Hobart. That's at $1.80. Short averages a very impressive 46 with the bat in the BBL and has a massive strike rate as well of 148. Over to you, James.
I'm also going with cricket. I'm going to the Boxing Day test. Yeah. I looked at the racing fields and we don't have any markets at the moment, so it's a bit of a guessing game. I'll mention some horses in a little bit, but for my Bank Builder, loves the big stage, Steve Smith.
Oh boy, he's due.
Coming
he's
off a couple,
well
of,
overdue,
couple of average scores, he'll bounce back here. He's played 6 tests at the MCG and averages a lazy 136.
Wowie.
That's okay.
With my 200, I'm happy to have 150 on him to top score for Australia in the first innings at $3.25.
Ooh.
And then I'll have the other 50 on the in-form Labuschagne at $4 just to cover our bet in case Steve doesn't fire, because I think it'll come from those two. So Bank Builder, 150 on Steve Smith at $3.25. Racing-wise, they're at Flemington on Saturday. As I said, no markets at headquarters again, yes. But race one, number 4, Defibrillate, on the quick backup after winning last Saturday. Rock hard fit, absolutely flying at the moment. I think he should be pretty hard to beat again. And race 4, number 12, Manhattan Arch. Not sure what sort of price we'll get here. Hopefully around the $5 mark. Two runs back from a very long spell. Looks ready to win third up. So drawn for a nice run, Manhattan Arch in race 4.
Happy days.
Yes, and while I'm on a roll, let's go
you
straight into the
roll.
Throwback. throwback this week.
Yes.
Thought we should stick with cricket. We've got the Boxing Day test coming up.
Oh, here we go.
Warnie's hat trick.
Yeah,
during
what
the 1994 the Boxing Day test against England. So England were trying to.
I remember it well. I was there.
He would have been minus,
negative.
Minus three, yeah. England were trying to save the test, but were in all sorts at 6 for 91. Warnie, as he could smell a bit of blood. And he started by trapping Phil De Freitas plumb in front with a leggy that just skidded through a little bit.
Oh, and hit the pad. Yes, he's got him. That's out. OBW. That hit the pad, and that is the end of De Freitas.
Yeah, Phil went back when he should have been going forward. Oh, he just
come on, did you, have you told him?
No, I haven't, but I'm sure he's listening and I'm sure he'll take that on board.
Come on, Filthy.
Warnie's second victim was gun fast bowler Darren Goff, who actually took a hat trick against Australia.
Bit of mongrel in Darren Goff.
Yeah, he had a very good Yorker, yeah. Darren Goff, on
his in-swinger
Yorker. Goffy got sucked into playing one that pitched just outside of off stump. He probably didn't need to play at it and just feathered it through to Ian Healy.
Oh, and that's out. Caught behind. Yes, he's got him. Fastball. Beautifully bowled by Warne. Goff just pushing forward.
Yeah, he just went fishing there, Goffy.
It bounced a little bit there.
I can't believe it was Tony Gregg commentating and Bill Laurie didn't kick him out of the way and take over.
MCG Shane Warne.
So we go to the hat trick ball. Poor old Devin Malcolm is the man who has to face the music.
Robocop.
Yeah, Robocop as Warnie's described.
Bloke who finished his career with an average of 6. So he probably wasn't well placed to face
right
the hat trick ball.
Right for the taking, I think.
In front of a ravenous Melbourne Cup. Melbourne Cricket Ground crowd.
Just loves his racing, this boy.
There was plenty of discussion before the ball in regards to what Warnie should bowl before he finally let rip with this one.
5 men plus the keeper around the batsman. There we go. Fleming took the last one. Merv Hughes before him.
Couple of Vicks.
Yes! Oh, he's got him!
Got him, yes!
He's fit in so many words.
Booney just taking an absolute screamer.
On his birthday.
At bat pad. Took it like it was the last VB can in the esky.
The keg on legs. Get around him.
Completing the first Ashes hat trick since Hugh Trumbull in 1904.
You'd remember that, Squid.
Probably would have had a few beers with Hugh back in the day.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, good bloke. Good bloke. Bit of a toucan Sam, but he was
alright. How dare you disrespect you like that?
That's Warnie's hat trick. What a legend when he was playing. Not so much these days, but
Oh wait, come on, I still love the king.
You're gonna have to double click on that. Why was that?
He blocked punters on Twitter, Warnie.
Did he?
Yeah, Dingham.
That's pretty ordinary areas. But back to
him. You probably roasted him.
What?
Nah, you roast him?
I don't think so. I'm just having a bit of a laugh, as we do.
I don't think Warnie was having much of a laugh, but
yeah, that's this week's throwback, Squid.
Credit to Tony Gregg, though, I must say, because he did mention that Bill Laurie should have done it. He probably should have. But
not so much he should have, but I'm surprised that Bill didn't take
didn't
over.
Boot him out of the car.
He's a Victorian. Get it up in
him. I bet everyone goes up about 3 octaves to do Bill Laurie.
Tony Gregg, great effort. And he probably wasn't happy being an English player, South African, but played for England. He probably wouldn't have been too happy seeing the hat trick, but got around
They're all South African, aren't they?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, that was an unbelievably bad impression.
That was no good.
Oh, yes.
Let's move on to the cold profile.
Cold profile.
It's not Tony Gregg.
Cold profile.
It is. It's time for the cult profile, and I've been gifted the reins, which I'm very excited about. You know, it's nice to jump off the quiz every now and again. Cult profile this week, I'm staying with cricket as well, and I'm going to the great Mark Cozzy Cosgrove.
The big fella.
35-year-old Aussie cricketer Cozzy. He only played 3 ODIs, but still an absolute legend and a fan favourite. Now, I think the reason why he was mostly a fan favourite was because he looks like that bloke from your local club who I think has been there for about 20 years, does slap them to all parts, normally bats at the top of the order, but hasn't run a quick two for probably since he was about 19. So that was Cozzy, I think, in a nutshell. And I think that's why everybody loved him, because we all know that one bloke. He has also caught a bit of recent attention, and I'm not sure if you guys saw this with Cozzy. Did you see him headbutt the bouncer?
Yes.
I missed
that. So there he's playing over in England, and somebody bowled a bouncer, and instead of just leaving it, he seems to sway into it. And
headbutts the ball. I thought we were talking about him headbutting a bouncer.
He probably would have done. No, I'm talking about a bounce like a delivery.
He's probably done that a few times.
He's probably done that knowing Cozzy. He did that, and then there was also probably the worst run attempt I think I've ever seen in my entire life. Basically, he just pushes one. I think it's to his silly leg, and I think he thought the ball had gotten past the fieldsman, but the fielder took it directly in front of him. So Cozzy takes off for a run, and the bloke fielding just throws it about a foot to the keeper, who whips off the bails, and Cozzy's on his way. So he's had better times. And also, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but heard his name used in replacement for when you're talking about a VB. Get a Mark Cosgrove. You ever heard that?
No, I haven't.
I've heard that around the traps.
Weird for us too, not to hear.
I've heard that around the traps as well. So he's definitely a fan favourite, an absolute legend, Mark Cozzy Cosgrove. It got me thinking other cricket cult heroes. You guys got any?
Oh, we just spoke about one. SK Warne's definitely SK a cult Warne. Hero.
Merv Hughes, who got mentioned. David Boone, who also got mentioned.
Dwayne Lovelock. Lovelock.
Yes, Leverock, the big Bermudan.
Yeah, that catch.
The greatest catch in
the history. Mike Gatting could probably be a cult hero over in England, I think.
Why?
Because he got done with the ball of the century.
I don't think they talk about that story.
He used to eat records amount of food, like during play as well. He would have so much food. Justin Langer's Howie Dangs podcast. Yes, he talks about how much food he actually used to eat. He's like, how did he even walk out on the field after eating all that? That's probably why he got done with the ball of the century.
And of course, somebody who once featured. Well, not in person, but was once spoken about the great Richard Cheekley.
Yes, I was about to mention Richie Cheekley.
Six and Out fame.
Yep.
And that song got a recent go round because they, of course, had Joe the cameraman finally put to bed who said what. I think it was on the Fox cricket coverage, and it got a run. The can't bowl and can't throw. Jeez, it's a good tune.
Did Joe the cameraman?
Joe the cameraman. He owned up. He owned up.
So it wasn't Warnie.
No, it wasn't Warnie.
I still think it was Warnie.
Warnie. It was cameraman. So there we go. Mark Cosgrove and some cricket cult heroes. Jake, what's it time for?
It's time for the quiz.
Hello and welcome to Let's Get Quizzical. And here's your host, Jake Eckworth. There's the production value on that.
Thank you, boys. You are too kind. Jeez, the Beast is excited to defend his crown against Wolf. Clapping away. Thank you, Beast. And Wolf looking to bounce back after a rare loss last time you were on the program. So looking forward to seeing what you've got today. So, okay, lads.
Like Steve Smith, mate, I'll bounce back.
Here we go.
Do you want test buzzers?
Are we talking burger?
Yeah, burger on the line.
Burger on the line. Beautiful.
Do you want test buzzers?
Yep. Yes, we will be testing buzzers. You up first, Beast? Very good. Christ. And Wolf? Sounds good indeed. Okay, so here we go.
He's on his phone. Is he Googling answers?
Today's topic.
No, I'm just watching a roast.
Priorities here for James Liam.
Is Boxing Day sport?
Jeez, the build up to the sport. This is incredible.
So this quiz is about all different sporting events that have occurred on Boxing Day, because unfortunately there's no sport on Christmas Day itself.
Is this Boxing Day Australian time?
Yes. Okay, so me and my mates actually say Happy Boxing Day when we arrive at the MCG. But that's another story. Just starting off, question number one.
Not a very good one.
starting off with an easy one. And it is multiple choice, so either jump in or don't jump in. Do whatever you want. Which of the following sports will not take place on Boxing Day? A, cricket. B, NBA. C, Major League Baseball. Or D, Wolf.
D, Wolf. No, C, Major League Baseball.
Correct.
What was D? What was D, by the way?
Horse racing. Mm. So one for James, 1-0. Question number two. This is also multiple choice. Which yacht won the Sydney to Hobart last year? Was it A, Comanche, B, Scandia, C, Wild Oats 11?
Was it B?
No, it wasn't.
Bugger.
So it's opened up now. Would you like to hear them again?
Yes, I would.
So A, Comanche, B, Scandia, B, C, James. Wild Oats 11, or D, Australia 2? chance to take a Comanche.
I know Wild Oats have won it many times. I don't know if they won it last year. Comanche?
Incorrect. Wild Oats 11. Oh, should have had a chance to go 2-0.
Australia 2, the one that won the America's
yeah,
Cup.
That's why I threw it in, just a bit of laugh. So question number 3, audio question coming up here, boys. So listen up. Haven't asked the question.
No.
Okay, so
what's the answer? I haven't asked the question.
Can I just tell you what happened and all the bits of it? Shane Warne took his 700th wicket at the MCG.
Yeah.
Bowled Andrew Strauss through the gate.
Yeah, that's not what the question was. Okay, damn, so what year did this take place?
Oh, you are kidding.
What year?
Boxing Day test.
No, you can't have another guess.
Can I have another go?
Can he shut up and let me have a go at this?
What? Oh, why not?
So is he 700?
Maybe timed out though.
Hold on. Let's go 2007.
Oh, so close. 2006. So 1-0 still to James.
Jeepers.
Question number 4 is horse racing. So a bit chance for Wolf to pull away here. Multiple choice again, boys. How many race meetings will be held Australia-wide on Boxing Day this year? It was multiple choice.
I know, but I've got to have a go because you'll get it as soon. I will go with B.
Oh, he's nailed it.
That's sickening.
1-1. Woo! The beast has come out of nowhere.
He's destroyed this quiz with his antics.
26 meetings on Australia Day. On Australia Day? On Boxing Day this year, Australia-wide. On to basketball now. So a chance for the beast to take the lead. Who do the Toronto Raptors play against on Boxing Day? Me. Beast?
I will guess a finals rematch they'll play Golden State Warriors.
Incorrect.
Bugger.
Wolf?
Is it multiple choice?
No.
I don't even know if they're in the same division. Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Incorrect. This is Boston Celtics. Oh, question number 6 is 1-1. It's a blockbuster quiz here. Back to cricket now. The last time, two to go, and it's 1-1. So blockbuster finish.
Wowie.
Back to cricket now. The last time that New Zealand played in the Boxing Day test was in 1987. What was the result? That was just Wolf.
Australia won.
Incorrect.
New Zealand won.
Incorrect. No. It was a draw. Still 1-1 the last question. Oh, you would not read about it. Drum roll, please.
I hope you've got a tiebreaker the way we're going.
Should have known that wasn't so obvious.
The last question, guys, is not a sports question.
Oh, wow. No. This is
so this is related. A true or false. So get ready. Oh. It is called Boxing Day because the...
He's risked it all. He wants the 50-50 shot at it.
True.
Got it.
No!
He's got it!
No!
I was really looking forward to reading all that out.
I want to send that upstairs.
It is called Boxing Day because the rich used to box up gifts to give to the poor. And that is exactly what happened. So traditionally, Boxing Day was a day off for servants and the day when they received a special Christmas box from their masters. The servants would also go home on Boxing Day and then hand out the gifts to the rest of their family. So
I'm looking
there you
forward
go, guys.
To receiving a box with a burger in it from my servant, Matthew Hickey.
Considering I've already bought all my Christmas presents, it'll probably be a cheeseburger from Macca's.
$2.99. There you go. Well done, Wolf. 2-1.
Big calls. Let's take a look at the leaderboard. And we were lucky enough to get in contact with a certain Nigerian prince who's had the pleasure of investing in our friend Jake Eckwood for the second time. So he's got some room to grow, and I think
so we're not teammates anymore, we're just throwing
I just want to be transparent with the listeners.
What sort of interest does the Nigerian prince charge? Is we're going to be paying him back for the next
0%. He's really just generous guy.
I'll be paying him back this week, so let's get on to our
exactly in spades. And then apart from that, James, you've actually you haven't spent anything last week, so you've stayed the same, which is all right.
It's amazing. You stayed the same.
Pretty amazing. But you haven't had to have reinvestment, so that's good. Me neither.
Consistent.
Happy days. Okay, my big call, I'm going to the NFL, and I'm going to take an NFL multi. I'm taking the Texans over the Buccaneers, the 49ers over the Rams, the Saints over the Titans, the Cowboys over the Eagles. That's a massive game in terms of the NFC playoff picture. And then the Chiefs over the Chicago Bears. Power playing that with Sportsbet comes out at $9.36, and that is my big call.
And even though you've just thrown me under the bus with my betting of late on the show, well done on your NFL last week, Beast. 47% ROI, I'm pretty sure.
Thank you,
well
sir.
Done. So I'm taking a BBL multi here and taking Aaron Finch to make 25 or more against the Thunder, Usman Khawaja to make 25 or more against the Strikers, and Dale Steyn to take two or more wickets against the Heat at $7.29. Apparently Steyn is bowling absolute heat at the moment. He's fresh off taking 15 wickets in the recently completed South African Super League. So Finch 25 plus into Khawaja 25 plus into Steyn 2 plus wickets at $7.29, and that is my big call.
Handy when you only have to bowl four overs. You can really steam in.
Mm, correct. I don't actually know if this is a big call or not because there are no odds. But hopefully we
this
get...
This could be a small, medium or large call.
Or huge. Who knows?
It could be.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as huge as that donkey I tipped on the show before I went away at $61. But hopefully we get at least $8 for this horse at Flemington on Saturday. Elberk goes around in race six on the card. Still a maiden after seven starts. Here he is in a Saturday benchmark 70. So he's up against horses who have won and have probably more credentials than him. So you'd think we'd at least get an each-way price. First up run behind the handy Rubisaki at the Valley was very good, getting home hard after being held up at the top of the straight. Barrier 12 at Flemington, it's a positive in the straight course races. They seem to go grandstand side. So Elberk, fingers crossed we get around the $8 mark to make it my big call.
Or more, I mean, if we're
If they want to go up $10, that'd be delicious.
Gee whiz. That's about all we've got time for, and it's probably going to be the last show for 2019 with the, I think, Christmas is, unless you guys want to come in on Christmas Day.
Rostered on, so I'll see you in there.
No, you're not, that's a lie, and I think the following one's New Year's Day or something along those lines, so we'll be the last one for 2019. I'm going to throw to both of you quickly for a question without notice. New Year's resolutions, Jake?
My New Year's resolutions is to... reverse the curse of my bank builder.
Hashtag reverse the curse. James Lamb?
It would be nice to back a few more winners, especially on this show. I think we'll be better for the run. Second up.
Yes,
second up.
So.
Into 2020.
Year.
Nice.
Exactly right.
Mine is to get revenge on James and win the quiz an unlimited amount of times.
Unlimited?
Yeah, just as many times as I possibly can. Because you're getting a bit smug on the quiz and...
He doesn't take defeat well, does he?
No.
Cannot handle it at all.
I think he'd be used to it by now.
Wow. Okay.
There's a clip to finish off 2019.
Before we do finish off, one last thing. Hot topic in this office. If you want to head over to the punters.com.au Twitter page, there's a video of some deck cricket down that's had over 11,000 views. We want to get your opinion. Was it out or not out? Pretty clearly not out. But there's a few people, including the Minister for Racing, Martin Bukul, who've jumped on... And raise the finger. So let us know your thoughts if you want to jump on there, because I think about every man and his dog has.
Yeah, it certainly got people talking. It was good Friday afternoon fodder, the old deck cricket.
Fodder. Indeed it was.
Looking forward to a bit more this week too. Mm. Bring it on. I'll get you out again, probably, Beast.
Probably not. Until then, well, everybody have a great Christmas and a happy new year. We will be back in the new year, and you can tune in then for another edition of From the Nosebleeds.